Well, thank you again, Emma and Nigel. I do trust that you have a good holiday. You're away for a couple of weeks, so truly be blessed and have a time of rest. We're going to continue with 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. And we finished last week 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, which says, "All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit who distributes them to each one of us, just as he determines." So although I said and made that statement last week, if we ask God that he will give us, he gives us good gifts. Now, God determines who he gives his gifts to. But it is the right of the Christian to pray for those gifts. And Paul says going on in verses as we read them, maybe in weeks to come, that we should ask God for the excellent gifts. And he goes on to describe what they are. But going on in verse 12, it talks about the body. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, and those many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, it says in verse 13. So we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And we are talking about the spiritual gifts. So just continuing on from last week, we look at wisdom and knowledge and discernment. We look at gifts of miracles and healing and prophecy and faith. When we look through the scriptures, we can get an interpretation of what some of these things mean. And then we look at what our own knowledge is. We look at the things we've witnessed, the things that we've understood, the things that people tell us about wisdom and knowledge. And it's for you to discern. That's why we need to ask for that gift. But one of the things that the Lord asks all of us to do is to rightly handle the Word of God. So I don't want to mislead you. I don't want to make false assumptions. I'm looking at Scripture, and what I'm seeing is what I'm saying. So I'm asking you as a church, I'm asking us as a people, to use the Word of God rightly, to weigh it up and see what God is actually saying. And when we believe what God is saying, then act upon it. So in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6, it talks about wisdom. Let me read these portions to you. Let the Scripture do the work. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Our glory, glory for those that will come to know him. In verse 8. None of the rulers of this age, this world, understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That's us. That's his church. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. They're spiritual revelations, in other words. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Let me pause there. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So when we're talking about the natural things, in verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit? That's our own thoughts. That's our own spirit, the spirit that God gave us when we were born, when he breathed into us, when life came from the womb. That's our own spirit. But it goes on to talk about God's spirit. And there's the difference between the natural and the spiritual. Who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? What we have received is not, in verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So when we accept Jesus as Lord, going over some of the things I said last week and I said last year and the year before that, is when we are born of God's Spirit. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes and resides within us. So we now have the capability of understanding God's thoughts. Does that make sense? So before we accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord, we were void of his Spirit. Once we accepted, we have His Spirit. We're born of His Spirit. We're baptized into the family of believers, the church. Now we have the capabilities, Scripture tells us, of understanding what God has freely given us. That's the revelation of His Word. Verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual relations with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are not discerned only through but only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit of God makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. Goes on in verse 16. For who knows the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's why when we in church life speak about spiritual gifts, they're gifts that are endowed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Who knows the mind of Christ but his believers? Yes? Right, let's go on and look at another portion of Scripture before we get on to the body ministry. It's in Matthew 13, starting at verse 10. The disciples came to him, Jesus that is, and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Now, if you take that in stark contrast to the Scripture I read before, the knowledge of the kingdom is given to God's people. So those that have accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord, they've been given a deposit, they've been given a measure of faith, the deposit of the Holy Spirit that resides in them. And then when we talk about heavenly wisdom and heavenly knowledge, Jesus acknowledges here that this knowledge, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, has been given to you, believer, but not to them, unbeliever. Whoever has will be given more, and it goes on and it goes on. So we're talking about the wisdom, the knowledge, the miraculous, the prophetic. We're talking about the faith. We're talking about the building up of the church. We're talking about gifts that will edify and encourage. There's a portion of Scripture that says, think about these things. Are they honourable? Are they honest? Are they lovely? Are they building up and not tearing down? These are the things we should think about. So, Matthew 16, verse 15. Jesus says to Peter, what about you? Because they're saying all kinds of things about Jesus. They're saying, you know, maybe it's John the Baptist come to life. Maybe it's Elijah. What about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation. No one told him in the natural who Jesus was. He had a revelation from God. The Holy Spirit quickened something to him. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So there are instances through Scripture where we are told time and time again that this is not a natural, it's a supernatural. This hasn't been passed down over the centuries. This has been directly imparted into your mind, into your thoughts by God. Now remember, as a Christian, we're not dead, we're alive. Our old life is dead, but our new life, we've been born of God's Spirit. Yes, our old life is dead, couldn't understand the things of God. Our new life is alive. So the Spirit that we are talking about here is the Spirit of God that resides in us. And yes, there are things that God will say to you and to me that are not revealed by human but by the miraculous. In Matthew 16, 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, you are the living God. And as Jesus says, blessed are you because God has revealed it to you. In Matthew 22, verse 18, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, knowing they had evil intent, he said to them, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Now, time and time again, Jesus says to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, it says in Scripture, knowing their thoughts, he said. And knowing their heart, he said. And knowing their intentions, he said. Now, you could say, yeah, but that's Jesus. But what did Jesus say to his disciples, me and you? I'll tell you. He said, because I go to the Father, greater things will you do. Greater things will you do. We have God's revelation. We have God's word. Collectively, there are far more things we can do now. Jesus could only be in one place at one time while he was a man on earth, as Christ Jesus, fully God but fully man, one place at one time. But when he says he goes to the Father, what he said to us was this: because I go, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit inhabits all his people, so he can be everywhere all the time. Greater things will we do. So there will be times that we will be able to know the thoughts that don't seem to be natural, but actually supernatural. And it's not just Jesus. It goes on in Scripture where Paul and Silas and Peter and John. There are many times where it says, and knowing their thoughts. Peter, when he's talking to Ananias and Sapphira, knowing that they had evil within their hearts. It was a revelation given by God. But as I said, these gifts that I've been talking about, that the Bible tells us about, they're not to edify us, they're to edify him. They're not for us to tear someone down. It's not for God to give you a revelation. I know there was a story of a minister in my local area, and he spoke to one of his congregation, and God had revealed a revelation to him. It was something that this person had not shared with him or anybody else in the church. It was a complete revelation. It was between that person and God. And this minister said to this said individual, God has revealed by his Spirit this, and it was true. But what he did next didn't build this person up, but tore them down. Because he had the knowledge, but he never had the wisdom. When we pray for knowledge, we need to pray for wisdom. God's given us the knowledge of the secrets of people's hearts at times, not to pull them down, but to lift them up. Not to hold anything against them, but to see them set free. Yes? This is why I speak about the perversion of the gifts, because they have been over the years. But as a church, as a minister, as a ministry, we want to exercise the gifts in the right way, don't we? We want to rightly handle the word of God, rightly handle the gifts of God. And if we do that, we will see the church grow and expand and empower. It's not about size, but it's about influence. We will know who we are, we'll know who he is, we'll know what he's endowed us with, and we'll understand the supernatural as well as the natural, because God will give some of us those gifts some of the time. So let's believe that. But I want to use these few portions of Scripture before I get on to the body ministry. That's a portion of Scripture that you've heard, I'm sure, many times before, but I want to read it again in order to encourage us. In Acts 3:1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At three in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth, he wasn't able to walk from the time he was born, was being carried to the temple called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg. And he was put there to beg from those going into the temple. It was a place where people were going to offer their financial gifts and their gifts of worship. And he sat there hoping that people would take notice. In verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He was quite blunt. I need alms. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Could you imagine this? You're individuals that have been with Jesus. You've been told that when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You've been impacted by the Spirit of God. There's been an impartation. Something has happened. There's been a shaking in the upper room. There's been an empowerment that you couldn't understand. It wasn't natural. It was supernatural, but you didn't really understand how you was going to be operating in these gifts. And here's two men who loved Jesus and who mourned at his death, but understood there was a revelation that he's coming back for a victorious church, that this is the beginning, not the end. And Peter looked straight at him, it says in verse 4, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us, give me your full attention. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. So we have a man who was begging, but he was expecting. He was expecting to get something. Now, what do you think he was expecting to get? That's right, money. He asked for money. They said, look at us. He thought, I'm going to get something. But what he got, he was not expecting. Because it goes on in verse 6 to say this. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. What do you think it was that they had? They had a revelation from God that there was a supernatural dunamis at work. There was something that they could give them, which was the impartation of the faith that they'd received. This was a gift from God, because the man was an unbeliever. The men praying were believers. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. There was a boldness that came upon them. There was a faith that came upon them. So in that one statement, what we have is, we have the revelation from God that God wants to do something, because they stopped and took notice. We had the gift of faith that says, we want to give this man a gift. We want to do something for this man. There was the gift of healing and the gift of the miraculous. There was the prophetic, in the other words, the declaring with their mouth, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus. So there are times in the Bible that we see many of these gifts in operation. And some of you may think, and some of you may say, and some of you may have been taught that these things don't happen today. Well, they do. But not in the way that we think they do. As I said last week, do I believe in healing? Yes, I do. That God can, if God created us, come on, he can recreate us. There's nothing impossible for God, yes? As long as we remember it's him, not us. We are not the healers. He is. So yes, we should believe in healing. We should believe that God will supernaturally cause miracles to happen. Does that mean that every time you pray for someone, they're healed? No, it doesn't. Why? Because God is the one that determines it. But we have the opportunity to say, God wants to bless you. God wants to encourage you. And if we are a people that are asking for God's gifts, then maybe, just maybe, there'll be times where God will drop something into your heart. He'll drop something in there where he'll say, you've been in a position for many, many weeks, months and years. You've walked past someone who's crippled. You've walked past someone who's in a wheelchair. And just God quickens something to your heart and he says, son, daughter, pray for that person. And you just overwhelmingly have a sense that God is doing something different. So you just say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And God gets the glory, doesn't he? So while we're looking and investigating these gifts, let's discern, let's ask God afresh to trust us with his power, to trust us with his goodness. In James 3, verse 11, I'm going to start verse 10. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, in verse 12, can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, we need to take the Bible at its word. A tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. So if you want to be able to discern the body ministry, because we're going to look in a moment at the body, we have a few minutes left. We're going to look at the body, look at what Paul is saying about the body, how important every member of the body is. I'm going to read through it and just articulate that afresh to us so we can be encouraged. It doesn't matter who we are and what we're doing, we're part of the body of Christ. But this portion of scripture here, to get it into its context and to look at the meaning, says that we should rightly judge people by their fruit. So if you see a man or a woman who says, I am a this or I am a that, I'm a prophet, I'm a healer, I'm this, we need to check out their credentials, we need to look into their lives, because salt water and fresh water can't flow from the same spring. But you might say, but Pastor, God uses the foolish things. He does. But he doesn't use the ungodly things. You cannot be sleeping with your neighbour's wife and preaching the gospel and healing the sick in Jesus' name at the same time. You just can't. Now, can we as Christians sin and God redeem us? Yes. But you can't have it as a lifestyle. And I remember going to a big convention in America some years ago for a man called Todd Bentley. And Christians all over the world were flocking there. And I thought to myself, along with Julian, we thought, well, if God is moving, if this is a real move of God, then we want what God's got to offer. We were hungry for him. So we paid our money and we got on the plane and we went over there for a week. And if we'll give you our assessment. Our assessment was that we didn't see anything more powerful than what we saw on a Sunday in church. There was thousands of people and it was hyped up and the songs were good and there wasn't much preaching of the word. And no, we didn't experience much at all. Now, God touched me in certain ways, but not through the laying on of hands, just by his spirit, because I was hungry. But when you start to look into this man's life and you look at his adulterous lifestyle, and I'm not saying anything that's not in the public domain, when you look at his relationship, you look at the perversion of the word, you look at how he didn't handle the word of God, and you look at the things that he's done and he's doing, salt water and fresh water, they can't flow from the same stream. And it certainly wasn't fresh water and it certainly wasn't salt water. It was a mixture of the two which brought a stagnation. It brought some pollution. It's like when it said in Revelation that, you know, you're neither hot nor cold, you're stagnant, you're lukewarm, it's bitter water. So we need to be people that, while I'm talking about spiritual gifts, trying to encourage us as a church, that you discern rightly the word of God. So in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, it says this: just as the body, though one, has many parts, that's the human body, but all its members, its parts, form one body. In other words, you know, we've got lots of different parts, and there's parts of the body that we can't see. There's sinews and blood vessels and organisms and other bits and pieces that I can't think of the words that goes on to make up our body. You know, when you fracture just a small part of your toe, there's lots of bones in there. There's lots of different parts. So the body forms many parts, but it's one body. I make up one. There's not two of me. There's just one of me. You will be pleased to know. For we were all baptized, so it is with Christ. In other words, so the natural body, so the spiritual body. It goes on to say, so we were all baptized by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as so to form one body. So when we became Christians, we were baptized into the body of Christ. We've been submersed, our old life died and our new life began. We've been submersed, baptismoed, dunked into the body, planted into the church. There wasn't a church until the Holy Spirit came. And then we became a church. We became a body. So it's not just about the local body. It's the global body, the national body, the worldwide body. If you are a Christian today, you're part of a massive body. It goes on to say, baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. I'm reading this portion of scripture to help us as a church, because Paul was addressing the speaking gifts. He was addressing the disorder. He was addressing the unorthodox use of the gifts that God had endowed people with. They started to forget that there's more than one gift, and we're all part of a body and we should edify one another. Now, we bring these portions of scripture to be able to say to each other that you are important in the body. Yes, Pastor, but I don't do anything. Yes, you do. Are you listening to God's word? Yes, you are. Are you digesting God's word? Yes, you are. Are you rightly asking him to give you the revelation to rightly handle his word? Yes, you are. Are you praying? Yes. Are you giving? Yes. You're a part of God's body. Without you, we couldn't function. Just maybe you might be a big toe. Well, without our big toes, we'll fall over. That's how important you are. Okay? You know, the enemy's out to rob, steal and destroy. But I'm here to say that the Spirit of God comes to empower and impact you so that you can become all that you've called to be. Now, you may be an individual that's really been called to do one specific thing, that's to love the Lord with all your heart. Well, do it. Do it. You're important. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, just imagine everybody heard but nobody saw. Where would the body be, hey? I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were made of an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, it says in verse 18, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you are where you are because that's where God wants you to be. You're doing what you're doing because that's what God wants you to do. What I'm saying to us as a church is do what you've been called to do. Ask God to give you the supernatural to come alongside the natural so that you can be blessed in a greater way and you can bless others in a greater way. God's given us these gifts, but we do need to accept them. We do need to ask for them. Eagerly desire, Paul says, the greater gifts. And we'll go on another week and articulate what those greater gifts are. But he also says that there's a more excellent way than all these things I've talked about, and that's love. So don't be somebody that will misunderstand that there's a pecking order in the gifts. There's not. There's a function, and that function works in different ways, but all the gifts are equally needed. That's why he's using this illustration of a body. But God has put them just as he wanted them to be. In verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? Could you imagine if we were all just preachers? Everyone would be preaching to each other all the time. There'd be no coffee, no worship. There'd be no children's work. There'd be no ministry outside the church. We'd just all be preaching to each other. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Verse 20, as it is, there are many parts but one body. Remember, I can remember years ago, my children used to play football, and we used to go to the local football club, and there'd be rewards at the end of the year, there'd be trophies given. And I can remember feeling a little bit sad when the trophies were given for the best goal scorer. Now, why was I sad? I'm glad you asked. Because the centre forward is the person that the fullbacks will get the ball to so that he can score a goal. So without the work of the fullbacks and those in the other positions, the person who was given the ball in front of the goal wouldn't be able to score. So the point I'm making is this. Yes, we should reward those. Of course we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't reward people for what they do. However, it should be that when there's a reward, everybody is rewarded. It's not just the goal scorers that we should glorify. It's the rest of the team, because without the rest of the team, he wouldn't be able to score the goals. She wouldn't be able to score the goals. without the people who are in the physio to make sure their body is in the perfect condition, he or she wouldn't be able to score the goals. Without the managers giving them the opportunity to play, they wouldn't be in a position to score the goals. You see, the only time we're encouraged to act as a body is in the Bible. Because the world is selfish. It's all about me, my and I. But when we look at the Bible teaches us that, listen, if I do something which is good, you're part of that reward. If you do something that's good, I'm part of that reward. We should all celebrate. The Bible says to us as Christians, rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. We're part of a body. If one part hurts, we all hurt. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. But there are times that we find that in church, don't we? I've had in my ministry, and no names, I've had people who honestly thought they're God's gift to the church in the way that it's all about me and not about you, and you can't function without me. So unless you do it my way, I'm not going to give you my gift. Well, unless you're going to do it God's way, we don't want your gift. Ooh, sounds hard, doesn't it? But that's the truth of it. You're not serving an individual, you're serving God. And if we can do that as a church, then maybe you'll understand how important you are. When you sit at home and you think about somebody and you pray about that person, when you pick up the phone and you encourage someone, you visit someone, when you pay finances into the pot to pay my wages, that enables me to go out and do other things. That enables me to bring a message like this. You're doing something. It's important. What you do in the body, how you function, and your attitude, if it's right towards the Lord, you will be richly rewarded. When I score a goal, you should celebrate. When you score a goal, I should celebrate. We're part of a team. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. Can't do without them. And other parts of the body are less honourable. We treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While other presentable parts, we need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one suffers, every part suffers with it. If one is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and I want to emphasise that to us as a church and anyone else that may be listening. If you're a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. That's encouraging, isn't it? You're a part of God's body. You're a part of this awesome body of Christ. God has placed in the church the apostle and the prophet and the teachers and the miracles and the gifts of healing and gifts of helps and so on and so on. I'll cover them. I'm running out of time. I'll maybe look at them next week. But God has placed you in the body. So we're looking at spiritual gifts. We're looking at the gifts that operate and how they operate. We're looking at God's Holy Spirit and how he manifests in us as he wills. And we're looking at how we should be as a body, how we should treat one another, how we should look at what God has given us is to empower you, to empower others. So if God gives me, it's so that I can impart wisdom into you and you can impart wisdom into someone else. So if we take the gifts God's given us, we rightly use them, we discern, we have wisdom, godly wisdom, spiritual discernment. When God gives us something and we handle it in the correct way, he'll increase that gift within us. I do believe that. Faith is like a muscle. As we step out and we trust God, then God will increase the opportunities that he gives us. We understand the discerning, the right discerning of the spirits. There's a spiritual gift there. We understand that the dunamis that the Bible talks about does exist. And that dunamis is that dynamite of the Holy Spirit, that power that when we say something, when we do something, it's backed up. And for us as a church, I want to see us operate in those gifts. So if God has placed something on your heart, let me finish with a story about myself. It's not talking about myself to promote me, but rather than someone else, I'll talk about me to get the illustration across. To talk about body ministry. There's an elderly couple that have, the lady is deceased now, and the gentleman is probably in his 90s now. And ever since I was a Christian at the age of 30, they'd always seemed like they were old. I thought they were old when I became a Christian, and they don't seem to have aged much as you see them, but they didn't seem to do much in the church. They'd turn up, and they encouraged. They were good encouragers. They were lovely, lovely people. And one day, this couple said to me, "I've been praying for you, Andrew. I've really been had you on my heart, and I've been praying for you." And there was something that God had not revealed to them, apart from "you need to pray for Andrew." And when I'm talking about praying for me, there's times where we have a list, and it's good to have a list, and you go, "Father, you know, would you bless so-and-so, and would you bless so-and-so, and Lord, would you help such-and-such with their family, and Lord, you know, so-and-so's struggling with finances." They're all good prayers, and that's what we should do. But there's a time where God will place someone on your heart, and it's like you just stop what you're doing, and you go, "Lord, I just want to lift up so-and-so. Father God, you've placed them on my heart." In other words, you get this sense of urgency, and you start to pray. And that's what happened with Harry and Dorothy, is their name. And they prayed for me. Well, the following week, I walked into church and didn't feel any different. And I was somebody that I just wanted everything that God had for me. You know, and I used to do some stupid things. I would say this to people. I walked with a limp because I always had one foot in my mouth. And, you know, it's nothing to be proud of, but it just means that I was like Peter at times, where I was over-enthusiastic. I did the wrong thing with the right heart. And I just wanted to go forward for prayer. Well, there was someone who brought a word, if you like. This was a word of knowledge, and it was my pastor. And he was talking about women's menstrual issues, okay? And he said, if there's any women that are suffering with these things, you know, "I believe God wants to touch you this morning to heal you." I went forward. I'm a man. I went forward. I didn't hear the woman's issues. I can see you smiling now. And I can understand some of you are chuckling. But that was me. And I went forward. And my pastor looked at me as if to go, "What are you doing?" And I just said, "I just want whatever God wants for me." And do you know what I found? He didn't even touch me. As he went to lay his hands on me to pray for me, I ended up laying on the floor, face down, crying like a baby. And I started to shout at God. Now, many of you may know this, but for those that don't, I lost my dad when I was 11, and I'd never grieved for him. I was 30 years old, and I'd never grieved for my dad. And I laid on that floor, and I was someone that never cried. You can't believe that, can you? I never cried. I was hard-hearted until God had only just got hold of me. And I laid on that floor and I shouted at God and I said, "How dare you take my dad? I want my dad back." And I shouted and I shouted and I cried and I cried, and the inner healing that came. Why? How did that happen? Because two people who were part of the body, who yielded to the Holy Spirit, interceded for me. Because they knew that God was going to do a work. They're part of the body. And I was set free that day, and I haven't stopped crying since. Church, digest the meat, as they say, and spit the bones out of this message. I do want you to be blessed. Let's pray before we finish this session together. I want to pray that God will richly bless you. That if you're struggling in life, that you'll yield that part of your life to God and let him empower you. Let him breathe afresh upon that dry part of your life. Let those bones come to life. That if you need a miracle of faith, if you need a fresh injection of God's love, let him overwhelm you today. Let him hold you like he did me when I was on the floor that day in tears. A 30-year-old man who was hard-hearted and God softened. Let him do a work in you. If you desire to see the miraculous operating in your life, then just quietly pray for that and then believe for it. And then when you feel that God is speaking to you, just act on it. What's the worst thing that can happen? You can look foolish. When I laid hands on a dead man, I looked foolish. He's still dead. There will be things that we do that we won't understand why we do them. But if you believe God is calling you to do them, use the measuring stick. Is it honourable? Is it going to build up and not tear down? If you have a word for someone, is it going to lift them up and not tear them down? If it's going to tear them down, then keep it to yourself. If it's going to lift them up, then share it. If you're struggling with something and you're not sure, bring it to me and I'll help. But this prayer is for you. So you receive it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May he give you the desires of your heart. May he bring healing into your life, into the areas that need healing. May he enable you to call out in worship. May he heal some of your hurts. Some of you have been hurt for many years like I was, from the age of 11 to 30. I was holding that in. Many of you need to be set free. And God loves you. We're part of the body, so let's minister. Father God, set us free from those hurts. Heal us today, we pray, Lord, that we may be a functioning part of your body. If you feel insignificant and unimportant, then that's a lie from the enemy. Read this portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. Read it. See what God says about you. See how those parts that seem to be insignificant are indispensable. If you're not a Christian today, then today you can be. Father God, I pray that you would quicken to that person's heart your love for them, that they would repent and receive you and be baptized into this body that we're talking about. Church, be blessed.